Welcome back to your regularly scheduled Sunday weekly podcast of the Throw It in the Ocean. Yost, how are we doing today?
Todd, have you ever thought about the fact that the only difference between snowboarding and surfing is the temperature of the water? I'm doing good, Todd. We're back.
That's a good one. I saw that and I was like, where's he going with this?
Yep, the temperature of the water. I'm good, though. We're back on a Sunday. I got a little bit of sleep, actually, so we're feeling good.
Nice. So you're thinking clearly today. I'm thinking pretty clearly, although I have an eye twitch going on, which I don't know what's going on with that, but it doesn't affect my my voice in this format. So
let me check good. Real quick. That is, according to WebMD, cancer.
Yep. So. Everything is. Yeah.
Yep. So
a couple things, I guess. It's 2 o'clock on Sunday, March 21st. We are both watching March Madness somewhat. At least it's on in the background. We've been watching it. It's been awesome.
It's been madness.
It has. It's really, it shows you why I was, it reminds me why I was so disappointed that it didn't happen last year, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
But anyways, I just wanted to give that little quick update. So I will throw a sponsor shout out there for this episode. So today, the Throw It in the Ocean podcast is brought to you by the Mail Delivery Service, delivering packages big and small for your bachelorette party.
Now that's a good one. Now, without going into too much depth, there's not very many bachelorette parties that are asking for small packages, I imagine.
I really don't know the answer to that.
It's maybe, you know, there's always something for somebody out there. Just like there are women who like short guys that are shorter than them. So true. I'm sure they like that small delivery system as well. But either way,
it's good to be back. We got a decent amount of stuff to talk about today. Some funny stuff and just some interesting stuff. I want to go right back to March Madness though, real quick.
Yep.
So, because you probably saw, and everybody that would be listening, saw that the VCU Oregon game got canceled because VCU got COVID or somebody. I never even actually saw the full story, but Oregon just gets a move on, automatic bye, which I don't know. To me, that's like, I don't like that if I'm Oregon, because you don't get any tournament play. I guess it's nice to move on, but it kind of adds to the nerves, I feel like, don't you think?
Yeah, it's definitely not a great situation for either teams. It sounded like VCU tested, multiple kids tested positive like a day before the game, because there was another team, I want to say Kansas, but I'm not 100% sure. They tested in like positive as soon as they landed, but they had enough time to quarantine. So they got to play. But yeah, if you miss the first round and you head into the second round, the team you're playing against already has that momentum. There's the balance between too much rest and rest, and then obviously not playing at all. You have no momentum going into the next round, which I don't remember who they play, but the way it's going, these lower seeds keep winning. They're just building momentum every single round. So if you were to have that rolling into your first game when they've already got one under their belt beating a good team, that's scary.
Yeah, they got Iowa.
Okay, and Iowa's nuts this year.
Yeah, number two seed.
Yep.
Yep. So here brings up the question that I'm not even going to claim it as my own. Brandy actually said it, and it poses an interesting thought process here. So let's just say somebody put a big bet on that game.
Right.
It would not be difficult for somebody to
rig it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that they no contested that specific game.
Yeah.
But you could kind of, let's say they're worried about VCU matching up with Iowa. They could be like, I don't like that. I want Oregon to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And I know they're doing like Vegas and all the big sports books are doing huge bets on March Madness and stuff. So it's just really wild because it would be so easy. And especially these are like top level, you know, young and college athletes. They're not, you know, they're really not showing any symptoms. So I think as far as like being devious and harming somebody, the risk would be low, but getting them disqualified as a team it seems like it would not be hard.
Yeah, and it sucks too, just because thinking about you travel with 15 guys, and if three go down, you still have enough to play, but there must have been some other stuff. Maybe other guys were questionable or not. But
they said if they had any contract tracing, that it could have been one guy, but if he contract traced the whole team and they didn't have five people because that was the specific rule they put in. If you had five, they'd let you play.
Yeah. God, that would suck.
Yeah. I'd still think they would have done it, though.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to. It's the big dance.
So pretty wild. But yeah. I just thought that was interesting. She's like, what if somebody did it on purpose? And I was like, wow, that is wild, actually.
Yeah. It's definitely, and I know the NCAA, reading some stuff, is definitely concerned that this could jump to other people and spread it more, and then the whole tournament shuts down.
Yeah, that was my concern. I was like, watch just like half the bracket, just no contest. That'd be like, it would be kind of an unreal tournament.
Yeah, that's just a big asterisk on that tournament at that point.
Totally agree.
Ohio State going down early pretty much destroyed most of the country. And then having Texas go down, and then earlier today, Illinois going down. So there's not much hope left for the brackets, I feel like.
To be honest, for me, it wasn't. I had Ohio State going to the Sweet 16, which hurt, but I didn't have them going that deep. I had Texas going to the Final Four and Illinois going to the Final Four.
Oh, yikers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like, holy crap. I didn't even realize. I'm not going to lie. I did a bunch of brackets. I had Loyola Chicago easily taking down Georgia Tech in almost every bracket.
Yeah.
I didn't even put two and two together that that's an in-state rival with Illinois and that they have that March Madness kind of gift, that magic. You know what I mean?
They got Sister Jean, dog.
I know.
She's like 101 years old and she's like straight from heaven. So that team has it on their back, you know? They got God on their side.
Actual angel on their shoulder.
Yeah. I love the tournament. The first game of the day, what was that? Florida and, I can't think of it. Florida and something yesterday.
Virginia where, Tech?
Maybe. But either way, it was like a overtime thriller, you know, first game of the day, setting the bar high. And on top of it, like there's also been some great, high school basketball. All the boys side state championships games were this weekend as well.
Oh, really?
AA, A and B action. And there were some great games there. Two kids in the state battling for who can score more points in their career as they're both seniors and stuff like that. At one point, they were like seven away from each other. So pretty cool to see that. And shout out to the teams that won. It was nice to get the season, you know, like there was a few cancellations, as far as I know, in regards to coronavirus stuff here. But I, for the most part, successful season, got to finish, which is amazing. And like, I felt so heartbroken last year for like college basketball, any college sport, but like high school sports too. Like, man, if you were a senior last year, especially on a team that was going to have a good run and it got cut short like that, like that's brutal, man. That had hurt a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think it's cool that we got to finish and everything went well. And I'll be honest with you, though, going back to the controversy of people giving it to each other on purpose, I would be willing to bet all the money that I've seen that the amount, I'd say more than 20 coronavirus cases were ignored during South Dakota basketball season this year. Like really? people knew they had it and didn't report it because they didn't want to jeopardize the season. Mm-hmm. I almost guarantee over 20 for sure.
That's so crazy.
I mean, we had it between two coaches. We got it during like right at the beginning of the season. The girls team had the same thing happen, and a few kids here and there. None of our kids did, but you know, there's somebody that felt horrible and they just like, you know, just stayed home for a day or you know whatever. But they because they didn't want to be the person that was responsible for shutting everything down.
Hmm.
So.
That's pretty
and
wild.
not saying like our program, I'm saying like statewide, you know, all the way from the bottom, all the way to the top. Somebody was like, hey, you don't look so good. Just go home. We won't say anything. So,
yeah. Damn.
Speaking of that, though, big news on the big train, and big train is a reference to myself. Don't know why I just made that up. The big train got his first vaccine shot.
I wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah, I got her. They were giving them out to teachers and I put my name on a list and I got a thing. I did it last Wednesday or Thursday, somewhere around there. And weird process, man. Like, first off, I was the youngest person in there by 60 years.
I'm sure, yeah.
Like, everybody in there was on the verge, if you know what I mean. And it was like in an old abandoned building. And that's like makes it sound weird and creepy, but it was like a building that nobody's used for a long time. And then just people set up with syringes and then chairs to sit for 15 minutes when you were done. Got my little card, got my date scheduled for April for my second one. And, I felt horrible the next day. I'll be honest with you. Like I had the chills and I had the aches and I did not feel great, but it was gone, you know, like it, as fast as it came in. So shout out to the coronavirus vaccine. I know we haven't talked about it much, but like, you know, why not, you know?
So here's why I wanted to ask you about it. Cause I've sort of blocked a lot of it out in the last few months, but I try to keep up on at least what's going on. And I've heard that if you had COVID even 6 months ago,
yeah,
there's less, what am I trying to say? There's a lot higher risk for having side effects if you get the vaccine. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because the person that Brandy got hired on to cover for in her new job,
yeah,
which she's since been hired on in a full-time capacity, got yeah, COVID. So literally okay, like within the last 3 weeks, and then last week got the first shot. And I was like, she had it. She had a 5-day gap from when she got over it to when she got the shot. Like that seems not wise to me.
Yeah. Right. You still have the immunity, the 90-day immunity technically.
Yeah. And everybody's got everybody keeps antibodies for a different amount of time.
Right.
But I just was curious because I can't remember what was yours was in early December.
Yep, I got it on my birthday, December 4th.
So I don't know. So. I was just curious. And I still struggle with where I land on, even if I want to get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, land in the pool, Todd. Land in there. Land in the pool of vaccine. I'm just, I don't really care what people do. For me, it's like a safety thing for work and the baby and stuff like that. But it's also like, if this allows me to like go to Vegas over the summer, like Carly and I are doing it. Like we want to go and be somewhat back to normal if we can. So I know that's like maybe a selfish reason, but you know, whatever.
It's so hard. I don't really see the need for it, to be honest with you. I don't ever get the flu shot. I have allergies. We just talked about this when we're talking about scratching your eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
Never gotten an allergy shot.
Like, yeah, that's made up by big government though.
and I just don't know. It's not for a reasonably healthy person and a younger person, I don't think it's a fatal virus. So I don't know whether or not I want it, I guess is why I struggle. But then when you talk about travel restrictions, if you don't have it,
yeah,
I'm not going to lie, that I'm table flipping mad about that.
Oh, I know. And I think this is probably one of the areas we would definitely disagree on is like, it was never a guess. If I was going to take it or not, like Carly, the only reason Carly won't right away is because of breastfeeding. They just don't know. So she'll wait a little bit, but like, I just like, it doesn't affect me any, like if I take it, it doesn't make things worse for me and it probably makes things easier for me. You know what I mean? So like, why not? I guess I'm just on the path of like least resistance and like not even resistance, you know what I mean? But like just, yeah, what's it matter? What's it hurt? I really want to like post on social media when I'm done my like sticker that says like, hey, I got both vaccines. I really want to stir the pot and post my picture saying I finally got my government tracker installed and just like watch all the people on my Facebook that fall under that ideology just lose their mind. So,
yeah,
but I don't know. I get what you're saying. It doesn't seem necessary, but then I'm on the other side of it where like, I don't see a reason not to. Like the flu shot I got because Carly was pregnant and I'll probably never get again. I just did it because it brought me no harm and discomfort and it was free. You know what I mean? So
true.
I don't know. Maybe that's a weird way of looking. Maybe that's how people get overthrown by their government or get, ruled by their government is just, oh, whatever. I'll just be a sheep and go with the flow. But yeah. I'm also not that concerned. Like I don't know. Not that concerned, but either way, wasn't a bad experience. Felt a little poopy the day after, but yeah, it's done. And honestly, it was so sore. My arm was super sore. Like I couldn't sleep on that side and I don't get shots that often. So maybe that's pretty normal, but you know, whatever. I could take a sore arm to save my country.
I just don't know, man. Virology, is that what it's called?
Sure.
For vaccines or is that the study of viruses? I don't know. But it's a mRNA, which is kind of new, kind of different. And I know that generally mRNA is pretty safe, but it's so early on that and it's so hard to find good information that I just can't make a decision. So,
yeah. And that's the thing is like, what's your biggest concern? What's your biggest concern?
Well, my biggest, probably the biggest thing is I don't think it's needed for one. Right. And for two, why would I do something that I'm not confident in? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if it matters. The other thing that plays into it is like, literally the whole country will get the vaccine and then we'll start giving it to illegal immigrants before I would come up on a list.
So, no, you're pretty much on the list now.
No, you're, dude, I'm the last person in the country that'll get it for sure.
Nah, put your name on the list. You'll be fine. I guarantee you could get it. I bet you put your name on the waiting list. You're getting it by the end of the month.
Probably in Wyoming. I could probably go get it anytime, but just yeah. Generally, if you look up the, when you get it, it would be, it is last.
But. Yeah. That's like, you know, we'll see if we, you know, they're not too worried about the list. Just show up. We'll get you some. Yeah.
Anyway, on another coronavirus news, I wanted to give an update because we ended our statewide mask mandate here on the 16th.
Yep. I got to read all about it. Yep.
Did you?
Yeah. Let's just say that I don't know why I still have them on my Facebook, but I have people on my Facebook that, couldn't have been happier that the mask mandate was lifted. So
is yours, did you guys have end of yours as well?
No, dog. We haven't had one.
Oh, you didn't.
We
haven't had. That's right.
Christy Nome encourages people to lick each other in the mouth like this last year or so. we have not had a mask mandate, and like countries all over schools all over the country are figuring out how to go back to school. We've been freaking breathing the same fart air the whole year in person. So
yeah, that's true.
It's like weird. Everybody's like panicking, trying to figure out things out, and we've never changed. You know, so
I was just going to go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't really know where I fall on it. Cause I do not like the risk that kind of was involved. Like we hit a point where like 1 in 6 people in the town was getting it and we stayed open. But then at the same time, it's like, we also shut down for a whole year when we had like one case, you know what I mean? At the very beginning of all this. So that's where it felt weird. She's gotten a lot of crap for staying open, but you know, I don't know, just pay teachers more. That's all I care about. Shout out to Chris. Shout out to Christy Nome. I know you're listening. So give us teachers more friggin' money.
So ours ended and I was like, oh, I want to see how quickly the town goes back to, cause it was pretty much in Cheyenne. The bulk of the people are wearing masks. Like you see the odd person in the store or the gas station that's not wearing a mask. But they're definitely the outlier.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see how quickly it flipped back the other way. And we had the giant snowstorm, which kind of slowed stuff down because it, you know, lifted on Tuesday, which everybody was locked up. So, but I got out on Thursday, grabbed some groceries and stuff, and it was almost flipped back the other way. So the only people wearing masks were pretty much the, you know, the elderly folks, the workers.
Yep.
And that's the occasional, you know, person my age. So, yeah. And I went to Walmart and I was like, I carried one in not knowing what I was going to do. And then I just was like, well, we're back to no masks. So that was kind of nice.
Huh. Yeah. There's definitely stores where if I'm running into a gas station, I don't I won't put one on, but like if I'm in Walmart for a while, I wear it and it's not even because of the coronavirus. It's just because Walmart's fucking disgusting. So
we did go to a store the other day though and walked in. We were the first people there. Walked in same way, carrying our masks. And, the lady came up to us, was like, can we get you a mask today? And I was like, do you need us to wear them? And they're like, if you don't mind. And was like, sure, we'll put them on, which we did. But it, you know, so it's not fully back because every business still has a sign on the door.
Yeah. And they can do whatever they want. Like they can refuse to serve. And then some person will end up on the news because they spit in somebody's face because they didn't want to wear a mask for 4 minutes, but whatever.
Yeah, I saw something down in Texas because they've been unlocked for, I don't know, a couple of weeks with no mask or nothing. And I saw a big mask freak out or somebody didn't want to wear one in a business.
Oh, yeah. That's the name of the game lately is the mask freakouts. And it's crazy because I actually heard it on a radio station, but they were talking about how, you know, America's getting back to normal because mass shootings are starting to fire up again. Well, that was a bad choice of words, but they're starting to happen again with that shooting in
Atlanta,
yeah, at the massage parlors. So people are like, oh, I guess we're getting back to normal. This is our normal now, just people shooting the shit out of each other. So
pretty ridiculous, man.
I was gonna say, jumping forward, i I got a haircut again, like over the weekend, which feels phenomenal. They do a great job there. This is also the same establishment that I talked about a while ago around Thanksgiving when I got a haircut, with the super racist grandma, talking about professional athletes and how they shouldn't have a voice and all this stuff, whatever. I love this place. Like, it's good. But there was a heavy amount of racism in there again today or in there. And it's just, it's fine. It's not fine, but you know what I mean? Like it, I don't speak up because I'm there to get my hair cut or whatever. And it's not like they were being really bad, but they were talking about the Asian women that got shot. And it was just like, I don't know. It's just why.
Let me pose this question to you. Is the barber shop the last safe place for people to go talk whatever they want?
I think it is. And I think it always will be. It's the place where, especially this type of barbershop, where you don't schedule ahead of time. You just sit in a chair and wait for your turn. And then when you're up there, you're the center of attention and you're kind of dictating the conversations and stuff like that. Right. Like, I go up there and we start talking, I start talking about hoops and coaching and all that stuff. And everybody talks about sports. Well, you know, it just happens to be one of the guys that's up there is getting his 5 hairs cut that he has left. And he just decided to say horrible things about Asian people. So everybody you know what I mean? It's like, it's weird. 'Cause you don't even know where the barbers stand. They just stay quiet the whole time.
Yep.
And maybe this is my problem, is I don't say, hey, back up, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, easy, chief. You know, maybe that's not my place, or maybe I should be doing it, but I don't feel like I want to. And maybe that's wrong. What's wrong with America? Maybe I'm what's wrong with America. So, but I don't know. Either way, great haircut. And felt good to be like, kind of look like a functioning person again.
So
with the pregnancy stuff, I kind of fell apart a little bit there. So,
the TLDR of that story was you use a racist barber and continue to use them.
Yes. The TLDR is Yost is just okay with racism, apparently. Shout out to the people that will take that seriously.
Yep.
But yeah, it's one of those things. I've had great haircuts in there, and it's not to the point where I ever feel like I need to step in. I probably should, like I said, but I don't know. Here's the thing. Do you even try and change the mind of a 75-year-old man?
No.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I'm not even going to get into that anymore, but it's just wild to me, like, where you're right. I think barbershops are the safe haven besides that, or besides old local bars, like VFW bars or hole in the wall bars where a lot of locals drink. I think that's the
only Masonic temples.
Yeah, dude. The Illuminati headquarters.
Who knows what's going on in there?
I don't know. I don't even know what you do to become a Masonic.
That makes sense. I think you just got to like slaughter a goat. And
I thought you just had to have brick experience.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, man. But yeah, I digress. I had a good haircut. Baby is doing well. Last night we got the most sleep we've gotten, like 2.5 hours. It's, man, having a kid's weird. I'm never going to dive into the stereotypical, it changes your life thing, because we hear that from every new parent. And that's apparent to everybody. I just want to dive into the fact that, like, it's the most terrifying time of my life. Absolutely terrifying.
I could see that.
Nobody ever talks about this when you have a newborn. They just slap up a photo of their cute face on social media and say, couldn't be happier and my life has changed, which mine has 100%. But I am so worried about every little thing that, like, I'm going to have high blood pressure by the time my kid's 2. But it's going well. I'm making it sound worse than it is. It's going really well. It's a battle though. I mean, not sleeping much. I've changed my fair share of poopy diapers. Carly got pooped on. I haven't gotten that yet, but, yeah, it's like we just take breaks when we can. Like, hey, you got the baby for 3 hours. Cool. I'm going to take a nap, or I'm going to shower, or I'm going to take a bath or something, you know? So I don't know. We've talked about this. And, you know, the fact that, like, you guys aren't in that stage of life, which is fine, even if you never get there. But, like, your sister had a baby. Yeah. And, you know, other babies. Was there, when you see a baby, do you ever have that moment of like, yeah, I want to do this? Or is it, does that make it be like, nah, I could wait?
I don't know. I don't ever actually think about it actively like that, I suppose.
Right. Because here's the thing. And this is where, like postpartum depression kind of comes in. And I'm not saying that we're dealing with it, but I can feel it. There's like almost a sense of dread a little bit sometimes of like, you're going to miss your old life. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The routines that you got into and everything like that. But it's just like, even since day one, when we got home, it's gotten easier. Like, and we just are shifting around the way we're doing things. But postpartum depression is a son of a gun. I've just read up on it enough to know about it, the warning signs and stuff like that, and being aware of it and writing stuff down all the time kind of helps. But it's an emotional dump for sure. So
you're never off. You always have to be on. So
yeah, and shout out to new parents, single dads, single moms, people doing it for the first time, people doing it for the 10th time. You guys are crushing it. Keep doing what you're doing, but it is hard. It is super hard. So
if you're doing it for the 10th time, stop.
If you're doing it for the 10th time, you're just doing it for the tax reasons at this point. You just got a fat stimulus check because of that. So
yeah, I don't want to rant too much on that. So
yeah, I figured.
I got something to throw at you though.
Throw it in the ocean.
Random thought.
Okay.
Do you know which side of the street you're supposed to, if there's no sidewalk, if you're on the street, do you know which side you're supposed to ride a bike on and which side you're supposed to walk on?
Well, first off, I never walk in the street. If there's not a sidewalk, I'm not walking in that neighborhood. If there's a pet peeve I have, Todd, it's people who walk in the street. I can't stand it. Absolutely hate it. But I'm assuming biking, you're going to go with traffic, so the right side, and correct. Walking, you're going to go against traffic.
Yep, that is correct.
Dang,
you would be amazed at how many people in the last 5 days, because we got so much freaking snow that there's no sidewalks anywhere.
Yeah.
And there are people walking on the little segment between the lane and the snowbank or whatever. Yeah. They're just walking with traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like the road's already narrowed up here that, you know, two cars can barely go by. Don't you at least want to see when you're about to get hit by a car?
Yeah. You don't want to catch a car in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I learned that when I was 5 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll be honest. I probably never learned it. It just makes the most sense to me. Like, yeah, like you said, I want to see when I'm going to die if I'm walking.
Well, at least you can jump, you know, try to jump out of the way.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to get smoked in the back and that'll be it.
Yeah. I can't stand people. Like when it's a nice hot summer day and there's a person power walking through the neighborhood in the road instead of the sidewalk and they get mad when you get close to them. I want to back up, Todd. I want to back up fast. I can't stand it.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, but sometimes, I mean, especially in Wyoming, there's plenty of places where there's no sidewalks or anything. So.
Right. So they shouldn't just walk in Wyoming. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's true. Hike. A long ways to go between everything.
So. Yeah, go for a hike or something.
Yeah.
I get it when there's like no snow and stuff like that. But my problem is like, sure, okay, maybe I'm a little harsh on people walking, but don't get mad when people expect you to move over. You know what I mean? Like you're walking in the middle of the lane, not even close to the sidewalk. And then when a car comes up behind you and you like, do the scrunch face no and walk away. Like, that's not my fault, bitch. Like, you are the one in the road. That annoys me.
So. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the actual rule is even if there is a sidewalk, you should still walk towards traffic in case somebody were to go off over the curb or something.
But right. Yeah.
Probably a little less critical.
I always hated walking on sidewalks in big groups, especially like in our hometown, Dubois. Because if you were closest to the road, our roads were four lanes, but they were pretty narrow. And so if you were closest to the road, all it took was somebody looking down for half a second and your legs are gone. Or like your buddy pushes you just to mess around and you die in front of a cattle truck. So I don't know. I don't like walking. We go on walks quite a bit here. We have a really nice bike path and stuff like that. We actually took the baby out for her first walk in the stroller and that was pretty fun. Strollers are nuts, man. We've got a fully maneuverable freaking car on our hands that take corners fast and open it up in the straights. It's pretty nice.
Disc brakes.
So, yeah, honestly, it's got every bell and whistle you could imagine. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine also having a baby like 2 years ago, like when we were still living in an apartment and like I didn't have a great job. Like it's we're making it as expensive as we want right now. Like we did a lot of front end spending on things that we thought were necessary and that we wanted to have a little luxury, but now it's literally just diapers. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't say having a baby right now is expensive at all. Because the milk is built into mom and we just buy diapers, which we already loaded up on, and it doesn't need anything else. Yeah. So for like the first 6 months, it's super cheap.
It's true. Yeah.
Once they get into like activities, then it's going to be kind of a nightmare, but.
And just buying different clothes like every 10 minutes.
Oh dude, our baby is, she's tall, dude. She's got some long arms and legs. So I think she's going to be 6-7 foot probably. So
probably,
which that sucks if you're a girl, man. Oh, that sucks.
But make it work to her advantage. So,
well, I know. I mean, I've looked her in the eye already and said, you're getting a scholarship. And I want it to be somewhere cool. So when they fly us out to games, like I could wear all the gear and stuff. So I'm fully embracing the girl dad life though. Like if we have girls the rest of the way, I'm all about it, dude. I'll go to every freaking WNBA game I need to. So,
I mean, they give tickets out, so.
Yeah, they need people in the stands.
Cheap, just staying on the cheap.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I'm it's weird to think that far ahead because it's so long, right? But, you know, she does like little things that make me think like, oh, she's ahead of the curve on like the development timeline. Like she was lifting her head like day one. 2 seconds out of the womb, she was like, what's up, guys? So I'm like, my baby's strong.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm just constantly comparing. I'm like, okay, well, that's usually happening at 6 weeks, and so I'm going to put a little dumbbell in her hand and see how many reps she can get. Oh, man.
It's chopsticks.
Yeah. So, yeah, what else we got on the list? We got some good stuff today.
Well, we're going to play the hypothetical animal fighting game, but not quite yet.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see, we watched the movie Big recently.
Okay.
With Tom Hanks. You've seen it, I'm sure.
I've seen it. Don't like it.
Really?
I don't like it. Yeah.
What but do you I've not like?
I just don't like movies in that time frame. You know what I mean? Like it's, I love Tom Hanks, but like something about that movie is just not as entertaining as I feel like people think it is.
I like it. It's a good, it's really, really highly rated, 97 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And it surprised the crap out of me. And I've seen it a bunch of times, but you know, what's crazy about it is the premise of it. He's like a 12-year-old and then ends up working a job. It's all super entertaining and funny. And then, but he's like dating a 30 something year old.
Oh yeah. Pedophilia.
And it's a 97.
Yeah.
Dude, that's going to get retroactively hammered someday. It's not gotten, if nobody's identified it yet, but it's coming.
You think Big's on the cancel train?
Somebody's canceling it for sure. Just wait until somebody finds something that Tom Hanks says or does that they don't like. They're coming for it.
Then they're looking. Yeah, but Tom Hanks is amazing. He was
I agree. I really like him.
He was like the first celebrity to get COVID. And that's when everybody was like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah, but you're talking like it all makes sense. Tom Hanks is amazing. Matt Damon is too, but he hasn't done anything for 3 years because he said one thing.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I think we just need to relax.
Me too.
I think it's just everybody's been cooped up so long that we're just upset. We just want to take your clothes off like they used to do in the summers. Take your clothes off, pop some freaking acid or molly, ecstasy, and go grind up against some kids in a field while music plays over loudspeakers. Like that's what kids need right now, you know?
I can't believe you don't like it.
Big?
Yeah.
Yeah, I better believe it, baby. I don't like Big.
Dude, we talked about this the other day. Like, well, we probably said the 90s is the best era of movies, but like 80s, late 80s got some bangers as well.
Name 10.
All right, let's see. What do we, so it has to be after 85 or 85 and later?
Yeah, 85 and later. 86, honestly, if we're being specific.
All right. So Short Circuit.
What is that?
Have you seen that robot movie?
Oh, is that Johnny Five?
It's, I don't know if that's the same robot, but it's called Short Circuit. I have actually seen it.
I think it sounds familiar. If it's the Johnny Five movie, I think I saw it and it was awful.
All right, so Die Hard 1.
I've never seen him. I've seen Die Hard. I've seen Die Hard.
Christmas.
I haven't seen the old ones, and I've only seen Die Hard once, probably. So I'll give you that one.
Let me see. Lots in 85. Ferris Bueller.
Nope, can't stand it.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay, I like that one.
Top Gun.
Nope.
Full Metal Jacket.
The first half.
Big, obviously.
Yep.
Dead Poets Society? Question mark.
Never seen it.
There's probably a bunch more.
Let's see. I'm kind of looking through too. Yeah, Doug, there's not much.
There's a lot in 85 that are really good. Back to the Future was in 85.
Oh, really? Okay.
Weird Science, Breakfast Club.
Oh, those are good ones.
St. Elmo's Fire.
The 80s were a pretty solid year for horror movies.
I don't know. I might have to disagree with that. But I don't like horror movies, so I probably can't talk.
Because stay with me here. I mean, we've got some monster hits. The original Thing. Okay. The Shining.
Well, I could give you that.
Yeah, the original Friday the 13th. The original Nightmare on Elm Street. Poltergeist, Aliens, Children of the Corn. Like, the 80s was a pretty good run for Halloween 3, I guess. I don't know, but zombie movies.
Gremlins?
Gremlins, I don't know if I'd count that as a horror movie, but I don't know. Yeah. Predator, 1987 Predator. So there's some pretty solid horror movies around that time, but... But either way,
I'll give it to you.
Tom Hanks is great. I hope he doesn't get canceled. But Big, the reason I don't like Big is it's like, I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it. There's just like, it's not as entertaining to me as I think I should be perceiving it. Maybe it's just I've never gotten a fair chance, but I remember like watching it and like being bored with it.
All I know is that 97 on Rotten Tomatoes is you're in the 3% of people that wouldn't like that movie.
I know. I mean, it's tough being on the top, you know, or that's the bottom. I don't know, but,
but crazy, man. Well, so, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of movies, I don't know if you ever watched the original Justice League.
Nope.
Okay. You got lucky there.
Explain this Zack Snyder thing. Cause it's like 4 hours long.
Yeah. And it's good. It's really good.
Yeah. You have to explain what it is to me.
So Zack Snyder, he was the original director of Justice League. And I think he had a death in his family, daughter, wife, something like that. Some kind of big death in his family that he had to step away from the movie. And Zack Snyder is a big time comic book guy and likes to do things the right way and all that stuff. Couldn't tell you who the guy, Joss Whedon, I think, who has done some Marvel movies, stepped in to take over. And cut a ton of stuff out of it. And anyways, the original Justice League movie was a hot garbage mess. Like, weird storytelling, a lot of, like, leftover bits that never were explained, like, all that goofy stuff. The internet kind of lost their mind once Zack Snyder was like, hey, that wasn't my movie. I have 4 hours of awesome footage that I'd love to release someday. Internet lost their minds. Zack said, yes, he'll do it. HBO said, yes, we'll put it out. And then... He reshot some things and did a full 4 hour movie instead of cutting stuff, and got all the parts in that he wanted, more of the stuff that was cut out, more backstory, more storyline. And it's great. Like, the ending is a little weird, but like it's so much better if you've seen the original.
Hmm.
If you were to just sit down for 4 hours and watch it with no context, it'd just be a long ass movie. Because at the end of the day, it's still DC, and DC sucks compared to Marvel.
So does it share a lot of footage from the original, from the first one?
I'll be honest, watching it, there's a little, but like hardly any of it is the same. Even scenes that were the same, he just reshot them to look better. Like, there was this whole thing in Justice League that like Superman they had to CG his mustache off because he was filming for another movie. Henry Cavill or whatever. And so they CG'd his mustache off and it looked absolutely awful in the movie. And so he was like, well, yeah, I'm not going to reuse that. I'm just going to reshoot all the scenes with Superman. And so like all the scenes he shot with him where it looked weird, he just made it look cooler. So the music was better. The storytelling is better. It's a little darker in spots and all that. So, but also like at the end of the day, it's DC. So, and I won't go down this rabbit hole too much, but I think Superman's the worst superhero with Batman right behind him.
It's close.
I just lost a ton of listeners because of that, but like, no, I can't with those two.
I just, 4 hours is that's a marathon.
Well, see how I consumed it was at 2:30 in the morning while I changed the diaper and stayed up with the baby for a little bit. I watched like the first 2 hours, went to bed and woke up immediately, turned it on and finished it. So I had to split it up. I couldn't sit through all four. But
yeah, that's a long time.
But like it was good. If you saw the original, I definitely recommend it because they do a lot of good stuff. But if you could care less about it, just let it sit on the shelf. So
I have pretty much avoided all the DC superhero movies because they haven't done them very well.
Is there any that I like? Well, besides Batman, I mean, I know I said he's one of the worst, but like he's got the most interesting potential for movies.
Yeah. I mean the Dark Knight movies, I wouldn't throw in that same, I wouldn't throw them in the same bucket, I guess.
Yeah. I don't put those in a bucket. The Joker movie with Joaquin was really good.
Didn't watch it.
Yeah. You should watch that one. I definitely think you should watch that one. Because it's not a Dark Knight action thriller. It's like inside the mind of a crazy person kind of movie. So, but with that being said, the next thing on the board, and I'm bringing it up because it comes out this month, Godzilla vs. Kong.
Okay. I have this written down.
Yep.
For a reason.
Because if you fall where I think you're going to fall, I got a counter to everything.
So I don't know if that movie's out. If it is, I haven't seen it.
Comes out at the end of March on HBO Max in theaters.
And when I wrote this down, I was like, I actually should probably make sure I know if they're fighting each other in this movie or if they're like joining forces. Cause I thought I saw a little bit of both,
okay.
But it doesn't really matter. Cause I still like the premise for a discussion.
Here's how these movies work. They're going to fight each other twice. First time, Godzilla wins. Second time, Kong wins. Third time, they have a common enemy. They got to team up and beat the common enemy.
That's probably what I saw, yeah.
Because it's too controversial to say one is going to win over the other.
Well, that's what we're going to decide.
Yeah.
Right now. And
I already know who it is.
I think I know who it is as well. So let me hear.
I know where you're going. I want to hear what you think.
Nope, you're starting. Who do we think wins in a fight between King Kong and Godzilla?
Godzilla.
Why?
Okay, first off, he's a walking nuclear power plant. He's mostly like, and I don't know the whole lore of Godzilla, but he's mostly like indestructible. Like he takes his lickings, but he just like rests a little bit. You know what I mean? He has diamond hard skin. Okay, so nothing's really getting into his internal organs. And when he gets really mad or he's exposed to high levels of nuclear energy, he turns into like Super Godzilla who just erases everything in his path. And he's a good guy. They're both technically good guys, but like he's been known as a good guy. That right there kind of keeps him from losing.
But he's a lizard.
Right. And the argument always is Kong is a primate and he can use his tools and his surroundings and he's intelligent. But I just don't think there's anything that beats Godzilla and his raw power, like his energy. Because technically Kong is Kong. Let's say he's a primate. He is a primate. You know, he's a larger primate. So yes, his brain is bigger, but realistically, and I don't know the size of a primate's brain, but let's say his brain capacity is the same amount as like all the brains combined in the United States. We're still not taking down Godzilla. If everybody in the United States tried.
All right. My turn.
Okay.
So when I started thinking about this, I hadn't looked at the movie poster. So look at the movie poster.
Yeah.
They're the same size.
Oh yeah.
So when I started thinking about this, I was like, Godzilla's probably quite a bit bigger in my head.
Yep. But have you seen the trailer?
I have, yeah.
Oh god, that freaking right hook he throws is sick though.
Here's my reasoning. I think King Kong's going to win this fight.
Okay.
So, not knowing all of the specifics about Godzilla's kind of mystical superpowers, but just looking at King Kong, he's a freaking literal gorilla that has, you know, a regular sized gorilla has a strength that we can't even hardly understand.
Yeah.
So now times that by like 5,000, like he could, I just feel like he could just get on his back and just pull his head off. It would just be over.
Diamond like skin. His,
well, then he wouldn't pull it off. He'd just break his neck. Like okay, it doesn't, he's so big. His hands would be so strong. I just can't even fat. Like to me, it's not even a close fight.
Right.
If they're the same size, if he's smaller, if he's half the size, I think it's close.
Right. A lot of the arguments I hear too is like, okay, so Kong in the old Kong Skull Island movie, which I don't think is the same Kong, but I don't know the continuation. He like kills two T-Rexes, right? I think this Kong is bigger than that Kong that was in that movie. And those T-Rexes can't shoot nuclear fire out of their mouths. Because this is the way I see it going. Is he, let's say he puts his hands in Godzilla's top jaw and his bottom jaw and he's trying to rip his mouth open, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be some resistance. All Godzilla has to do is just breathe his nuclear fire and his hands are gone. And then a monkey with no hands is like me on a treadmill. You're going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, there's always this situation where one of them does something and gets the upper hand. But I'm just saying, 6 times out of 10, I'm taking King Kong. I think he's so much more agile. He's actually got arms rather than like little half arms.
Right, but those half arms are still like arms. You know, they're not like a T-Rex half arms. They're like not proportionate to his body. And that tail, dude, you're not stopping that tail.
Like, it's true. That is a big, that's a weapon for sure.
Because I picture like Godzilla swings his tail at Kong. Kong grabs it. Like that's a moment in the movie where Godzilla's like, oh shit. Kong grabs his tail and stops it. But then he just like whips it the other direction and launches Kong across the planet. So I know
they're so big. They're both so big. Enormous. But
yeah. And then not to mention like one of the first scenes, and this is why I think it's going to go either way. One of the first scenes that shows like Kong trying to fight him in water. Like you're not beating Godzilla in water.
I totally agree.
Right. But then on land, it's in a big city. It's definitely leans more towards Kong because he can hop and jump and all that stuff. But Godzilla could just incinerate a whole city.
Can he?
Oh yeah, dog. He's nuts.
I thought, what happened to the old guy? I thought Godzilla could just like breathe fire. Where did this nuclear stuff come from?
I think he's always been a nuclear entity. I think that's, I don't know the old lore of him, but I think that's why he's like mutated, is because he's from a long time ago when there was crazy monsters and stuff that were, because the earth was like irradiated or something. And then he went to the bottom of the ocean where the most radiation was in this weird pocket, and it just kept making him grow and grow and all that stuff. So the only other thing is I have seen that the downside of both of these characters is that because they are heroes in a sense, them dying actually probably will happen to fuel the fire of the other one. So what I'm picturing is Godzilla technically dies in air quotes. Kong gets upset because he can feel things and then rips off the three-headed Hydra. I don't know what he's going to fight, rips their heads off. And then Kong actually like twitches at the end. And then it's another movie. Godzilla twitches at the end. So, cause what, that's the thing about heroes like this is like when they're animals like this and we're watching them, we root for them a little bit because we're like, oh, they're the good guy. And then when they die, we're sad and we feel a little bit of emotion. So like they almost have a benefit of killing one of them just so everybody gets fired up and they get even more mad, even like the audience.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah. But I think it's Godzilla all day.
I don't know. I feel like we could have made this movie though together.
You think?
Well, yeah, because you take the Godzilla side, I'm taking the Kong side, and then we'd come up with two battle scenes. And then you described what the movie is already.
Yeah. I don't think it's any secret, but speaking of, you need to get HBO Max.
I don't think I do though.
Get rid of Netflix, dude. Netflix is literally old hat.
Yeah, you can, we don't even use it.
You can get the Peacock, and because I just got it the other day, and it's free, no credit card at all. You can watch select episodes of The Office. You got a few commercials here and there, but they have great movies, great everything. Get rid of Netflix. The same money you were spending on Netflix, get HBO Max. Then you can watch Godzilla Kong when it comes out the same day. And there's True Detective, The Watchmen, Game of Thrones, The Wire, South Park. Everything is on HBO Max.
Just go check it out. I know. I'm not going to lie. I love those shows, and I've only seen maybe half of them. I just don't watch them. Like, I don't have time. Yeah. For some reason, I don't have time to watch them. I don't know. Right. Or at least I don't think I do.
Yeah. You always got time. It just depends on if it's important enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, I'm a team Godzilla there for sure. So,
all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you want another hypothetical animal situation?
I do. I love them.
All right. I like this. We're going to save the first one I wrote down. The second one. Would you rather run into a pack of wild dogs?
Okay.
Or a pack of wild cats?
So my first instinct, because it's a great question, and there's a heavy answer to lean on, but what kind of each animal are we talking? Like a pack of wild corgis and a pack of wild house cats? Like, you know what I mean?
I would say wild, it's just like your average dog and your, yeah, average like that we're used to. So it's probably like a mid-sized dog.
Yeah.
And a regular house cat.
So a bunch of your dog, Molly.
Yep.
And then my cat, Carl, is twice the size of a house cat.
Right.
It's got to be cats.
You would rather run into the cats?
Yeah, because like if they're wild, I don't know the aggression of cats when they're wild. I'm freaking whatever though. I can't think of a famous kicker in the NFL. I'm Ronaldinho-ing those things across the field as they come at me. If it's cats, you know, I'm Pele-ing one into the top shelf. But and I don't think I could do that with dogs.
Yeah, probably not.
And I love cats and dogs a lot, but I think if life or death, I could handle a pack of wild cats.
I have struggled with this one.
The other side of it is if they are like, if it's like a legit pack of wolves versus like mountain lions, I mean, you're fucked either way.
Right.
But I probably would rather deal with the wolves because at least I could see them coming. I feel like the cats are going to play mind games with you.
And the other thought I had about the dog versus cat is I think you're right. Like you'd be in hard pressed to outgun some, a pack of dogs, wild dogs. But I like the thought of being able to like climb away from them. With a cat, right, they'd just come after you.
Right. And if they're hyper aggressive, like even if they're small and it's like 50 of them, you're in trouble. You're getting some cat scratch fever.
Yeah. And cats are just like wild cats are, they're murderers, man.
I don't know if I've ever interacted with a wild cat.
They literally live to just kill.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing is like they're killing shit that's like their size or smaller. A pack of wild cats runs up on me, dude. They're like, they're thinking twice about it.
They go for the ankles.
Right. And I've got great ankles. So I feel like my weak spot is literally the back of my head. So they got to get up there. Shout out to all my enemies that just wrote that down. But yeah, I think the cat's the way to go. Now, and like I said, if it's just a house cat, if it's a cheetah or a lion or yeah, then I'm taking the dogs all day.
Ah, man, you're right. Cause mountain lions are, they're so sneaky. You don't even know they're there. Before you even know it.
Yeah. And I've always been told like cheetahs and lions like preserve their energy. So like technically if you could outrun them long enough, they might just give up. And I don't think that's happening, but like, it's always like, if they can't get it in a short burst, they just stop. Because they it's too much energy for them. So
yeah, I believe that.
But I also know like a pack of wolves. I've never been around a wolf. I've seen lots of pictures of them. I'm pretty sure I've even seen some hanging at that meat shop in our town.
They had some like there's definitely like a mounted like a full stuffed wolf I've seen.
And so like wolves are no joke. Like I'm pretty sure, and this may be just based off of Game of Thrones, but they go up to my shoulder. So I don't know, but
they're definitely big. Like I think they definitely go up to your waist, like their backs.
Yeah.
Maybe not your waist, my waist.
So if there's any wild animal that you could domesticate, like no threat of it ever hurting you or anything, what are you picking?
Just to have as a pet.
Yeah, like you get it when it's a baby all the way till it dies. It never will hurt you or anybody in, around you. It's just the best pet, but it's like something wild.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Probably going to be something that I like, I'm really interested in, but also is cool.
Yeah.
So my first, like my mind jumps to a bear.
Oh yeah.
Like a polar bear.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know. What would yours be? Do you have one?
I'd probably go a lion. It's a pretty basic pick, but something about just like that thing just sitting in your backyard and just like it, somebody comes through the gate and its whole butt just starts shaking like and it's just running up to you would be hilarious.
Like a full, like a male lion with a huge mane.
Full male lion, yeah. That and just
be,
like.
That'd be wild.
Midday, it's just doing its like growling and howling, like just scaring everybody, but it's just literally just wants belly rubs.
That would be pretty crazy.
Either that or it would probably be a gorilla because I could just picture like putting him in the passenger seat while I'm going to Taco Bell. And he's just like oversized in the passenger seat, just hanging out. Take him to the gym with you and be like, hey, hand me that 45.
Or yeah, you need to change a tire or something.
Just, yeah.
Hey, just, this.
Yeah, grabs the bottom. Yeah, I think it'd be a lion's kind of my favorite animal, I think.
I was trying to think of an exotic animal, like a giraffe. That'd just be a pain in the ass.
That'd be a pain, yeah. Because I was thinking like a panda bear. I love panda bears because they're like really clumsy and stuff. But like, I might as well just get like a big bear. I don't know.
What about like a giant moose with paddles? Like that'd be cool.
The only thing that sucks is like it gets so big you can't do much with it.
It's true.
Like
a lion wouldn't be small, but it'd be smaller than a bear.
But like you could picture a lion hopping, like coming inside for the night and hopping in your bed and you'd be like, get out of there. You know what I mean? Like you'd be like, go to your bed and his bed's just like a pile of hay in the back.
Just weighs like 250 pounds. Right. How much does a lion weigh?
Way more than 250 pounds.
Does it?
Oh yeah. What do you weight of a male lion? 420 pounds. Females are 280.
Oh.
So I'm only like 20 pounds heavier than a male lion. They only live to be, well, their average height is 3'9" at their shoulder. And they can get up to 8 feet. So it's pretty big.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. 8 foot tall, like on his back legs.
I think that's just like their length, like them just laying down, like head to butt.
They can jump over like a huge, like a 10-foot fence too.
That'd be crazy. But if they were like not that scary, and like as soon as everybody got used to them, that'd be pretty wild. Like you're just walking to check the mail, and you just have your lion with you.
That would be sweet.
And then like the neighbor's dog comes out to play with it, and they're just like rolling around in the grass together. That'd be cool. I think I'm gonna work on that.
Don't work on that.
Domesticating a lion.
What the hell's that guy's name? The lion. What's that? The Tiger King.
Tiger King. Yeah.
What's his name though?
I don't even remember. Leander Dobson. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I can't remember his name.
Joe something.
Oh yeah, Joe Exotic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah, talk about a perfectly timed documentary when the pandemic happened.
Yeah, no kidding.
Did you ever finish it? I know you started it.
No, we didn't finish it.
Yeah, you missed out. If you like big, you'll like Tiger King. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that... I don't think that correlation exists.
There's a Tom Hanks reference in there somewhere.
What else you got to... Yeah.
I don't know, man. I haven't really had an eventful week this week just because of staying inside. Kind of gone out a little bit to do grocery shopping and stuff like that here and there, but for the most part it's just been staying inside and kind of just surviving, you know. I think the biggest thing that I've taken away from this week is, and I always knew sleep was important, but like I highly doubt when kids tell me now that, oh, I went to bed at like 4 a.m and I woke up at 7. I highly doubt it now. Like, I always kind of figured they were exaggerating a little bit, but like, I need photographic evidence because I have a fully developed brain, and whatever IQ I'm operating at, when I've had like 2 hours of sleep, Todd, I can't even use my phone. So there's no way that they're coming to school and staying awake that whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like, so that's the thing I've taken away is like, I'm pretty sure everybody's exaggerating, which is weird to me. Like, hey, I got less sleep than you, LOL. But people do that in general. Like, I'm way more tired than you. Yeah, I only slept 20 seconds last night.
But you can go sleeping good, normal sleep, and then have like a no sleep night and then roll into the next day and be down, but still get through it and then go to bed. But if you're running like 2 or 3 hours a night for like a week, you're going to be hurting.
Right. And that's, and like, I'm giving no exaggeration. Last night was our best, where we probably got 2 hours. So we're getting up every 3 hours to feed. And so that's like a 30 to 45 minute process between feeding and changing the diaper and getting back to bed. So realistically, we're getting about 2 hours of sleep in between each of those. And that's like if we can fall asleep and the baby's fine. So last night was a great night. But those first couple nights, like I probably got 4 hours of sleep, but Carly probably got 1 hour of sleep. Like she was getting so tired the other night where she like was falling asleep just like sitting up, like straight up. You know what I mean? So like that's where I'm just like, man, people are exaggerating when they're like, I only got an hour of sleep. Like, no, I've seen what an hour of sleep looks like now. You would not be in the situation that you're in right now. Even if you got a good night's rest the night before, because I've done plenty of all-nighters, which, you know, come to find out doesn't actually help you learn anything. If anything, it's worse for your learning.
Yep.
But I've done plenty of those and I've felt fine. There's something that really messes with you when you only get like an hour at a time. Like when you're like, okay, I can go to sleep. And then you kind of hit REM sleep and then instantly you're up again. Like that's almost like waterboarding you instead of just staying up for 24 hours straight. So.
Yeah, it'd be way tough. There's definitely some sleep science there that's, you're not getting into REM or not getting your cycles and messing up your circadian rhythms and all that stuff.
Right. So yeah, other than that, I really haven't had anything crazy happen this week. I have another week off this week and then I'm waiting to see if I've got the 4 days after that off.
When is your spring break?
We just had it. It was Thursday and Friday.
Oh, really? Just 2 days?
Yep. So all my paternity leave time is falling around these holidays. So upcoming next, not this week, but the week after is like we have Friday off for Good Friday and then Monday off for Easter. So my plan is to go back that Tuesday after Easter. So like I'll have this whole upcoming week off, then 4 more days if everything goes well, and I'll come back after that April 6th.
Hmm.
Because we'll have people coming to visit and a bunch of appointments and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't really want to leave Carly alone to that stuff all day.
Sure.
So we'll see if I actually get that time. I could easily go back tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like I'm mentally like, okay, it's a little break. But then I'm just like, that sucks that she's at home all day, you know, dealing with it by herself. So,
yep, for sure.
And plus, I'm going to take the time off when I can. I'm definitely not one of those people that's like, man, that's what was frustrating. I'm going to dive into this real quick. When baby was coming and people were asking about time off and like if I was going to travel across the state for the game and all that stuff, like I got so many mixed, so many different advice from people. And the one that annoyed me the most was like the men, right? That were telling me like, oh, I was back 2 hours later to work. You know what I mean? Like, like just think about that for like a second. Like you either love your job so much that you want to go to work. You want to be there more than you want to be around your child. Or you can't stand your family enough and you never wanted a kid in the first place that you wanted to go and be away from them. Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, that's a weird one. For sure. I've heard of that. I'm not sure I've ever experienced it personally.
Right. And some are like, oh, I missed my first one. I wasn't even around. Like, dude, I couldn't imagine living with myself if I missed the birth of my child.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
it's just a weird time. Like I'll tell you right now, like if my job was like, hey, you're coming back tomorrow and no ifs, ands, or buts, and you're working till 7 every night, I'd be like, I quit. Like, I'm not going to choose my job over family. And this is what's hard, because I talk to kids a lot about this, and maybe you don't feel the same way, but like most jobs don't give a shit about you. Like your job will be advertised as soon as you leave the door, basically, especially like those high school jobs working at McDonald's or working at Walmart, whatever. But there's some jobs that people get into as careers where they bend over backwards for the job. They develop health problems like hypertension and stuff because their job is so stressful and they're always on eggshells about performance and stuff like that. But the job really doesn't care about them. In fact, if they quit, they can get somebody else that could be even more of a slave for them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I don't think my job is that way at all. I actually love my job, the people I work with. The administration is great and they would never do that, right? We work with kids. They're not going to be like, hey, you can't spend time with your kid. But I just think like, don't like kill yourself for a job that doesn't give a shit about you. And we both are fortunate enough to be in positions where our jobs do care. But I've had jobs where I was scared to take a day off just because I'd get fired. And then now I'm sitting back thinking like, why was I so worked up about that? I should just quit or had Todd call in for me and quit. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I definitely don't think people should take some of their jobs so seriously. Like,
yeah, I'll give you my thoughts on it. My thoughts have always been put yourself in a position to be successful doing something you enjoy and then work so that you can live your life. Don't live your life to work. You know what I'm saying? Like that is the saying and it makes sense. And if you think about it, you're not here to just work, especially for somebody else. I mean, there's probably an argument to be made that, you know, if you're trying to start a business and be the Duke of Oil on your own, that you are going to work all the time because you've decided that that's your life.
Yeah.
But if you're working for someone else but you like what you do and you're, you know, contributing and it's fulfilling or whatever, use that as a tool so that you can go live your life outside of work.
Yeah.
And it's the earlier on in your career you are, the harder that is, because you can't just start a job and immediately be like, well, yeah, I'm working, but I got to go do this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you kind of have to put in the time to be able to do that.
To get to that point, for sure.
But there's definitely having a child is probably one of the top events that you say, yeah, this is everything else is second. So,
right. And like, I don't know, it's cliche, but it's like, you know, get a job that you don't need a vacation from. You know what I mean? Like my job is stressful and coaching is a lot of hours, but like, I also have in the back of my mind that yes, I get the summers off, but like I don't wake up anymore, Todd. I don't wake up anymore and be like, I don't want to go to work today. Like I hate work that much. I haven't had that in 3 years.
That's good.
Like there's days where I'm like, whew, it's gonna be a rough one today, but like I show up. There's been days that when I worked at Wyoming Machinery or I worked at, you know, random crap jobs here and there, where I just was like, I can't do it today. Like my mental health is so bad, or I'm in such a weird place right now that I'm just going to call in sick or I'm going to quit. And I've yet to do that. Doesn't even cross my mind. Like there's some days where like, holy cow, it's early and I'm not going to be home until super late, but I just do it. You know what I mean? Cause I like it.
Oh yeah. No, so, that's the goal. That is the dream.
Right. and I'll tell you what, I always will have in my back pocket the dream of starting my own business of a food truck. Like I've been watching The Chef Show again, watching through all those episodes.
Dude, I love that show.
And in my mind, Todd, there's nothing more than what I really want to do in life is to create 3 solid tacos, hop on a truck and sell them at various places. And if I got to the point in life where I'm like working, you know, 60 hours a week, trying to get that off the ground, like that's good because I'm working for myself. I'm creating something. But like you said, that's different than working a corporate job where you're doing all the work for somebody else to get rich. And I'll be honest with you, I have the game plan written out for the food truck, how to get it started, some few recipes, everything that I need to get my foot in the door. And it's right there, Todd. Like one of these summers, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to get a food truck, but like, when we have our little food or farmers markets where we do our festival in the park, I buy a booth, I make up my 3 styles of tacos and I sell them and just see what happens.
Yeah, that's the way.
So I don't know. We'll see. But I don't have a good name.
I'll start thinking about it.
Yeah. So, but that's, you know, I don't think that's a career path that I would quit my job, but like I could definitely picture being a teacher and on the weekends, every once in a while, firing up the food truck, parking at places, beer festivals, stuff like that. And in the summer, it's a full on like parking outside of bars at night, going to festivals, doing outdoor concerts and stuff like that, and pulling that big bad boy up. And when you honk the horn, it's, you know, just a crazy wild horn. So
the cucaracha.
Yeah. So it's going to happen one day. I just don't know when.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of those business ideas. Some of them are spoofs that I like to share with you guys, but
yeah, like the mail order, the mail. Yeah.
Dude, I got another one that, well, I don't know why this doesn't exist. I'm going to give it to you right now. Somebody's going to steal it, and I'm fine with that.
Yep.
Why do we not have, we've got the Cheesecake Factory.
Yep.
Why don't we have a Cheesesteak Factory?
Todd, I'm going to tell you something. Mass-produced cheesesteaks are not good cheesesteaks. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I know what you're saying.
So my the thing about cheesesteaks with me is like, if I go out right now to Lucky's 13 and I get their cheesesteak, it's not good. If I go to Steerfish and get their cheesesteak, it's not good. They don't have it figured out. And those are restaurants that are like, they have the time to figure it out. Now, if I go to Applebee's or if I go to TGI Fridays and I do their cheesesteaks, it's going to be close, but because it's mass produced, it just doesn't have what it takes. Now, the places that like are built around a cheesesteak, like your number one item is the cheesesteak and we're going to build around it, and we eat, drink, and smoke cheesesteaks all day long, that's where the fun begins. And I think if you do like a cheesesteak factory, I just can't see it being great. Because there shouldn't be a lot of variation in a cheesesteak. And a cheesesteak, this Cheesecake Factory is all about variation.
I don't know. What I'm saying? I feel like there is some variety in the cheese steak game.
I'll give you maybe a little wiggle room, but like the purists, I don't think you're going to get the purists on board.
They're not getting the cheesecake purists on board at the Cheesecake Factory either, though.
I've never eaten at Cheesecake Factory because I'll probably die, first off. But I just like, there's something obnoxious about the Cheesecake Factory. And I think the same thing would happen with the Cheesesteak Factory.
Well, they get massive and make millions of dollars and be mediocre. I'd be good with that.
I mean, yeah, you could always sell for mediocre, but I think there's certain foods that you just don't mass produce. Like, I love the idea of running out of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we shut down the truck. We shut our Franklin's barbecue down. We shut it down when we're out of meat. Or breakfast places that do special things and, oh yeah, we're only serving until 10 because we can't be open that long. We don't have enough stuff. And then they just rinse and repeat every day.
Mm.
I don't want the idea of my cheesesteak coming out of a freaking frozen box and thrown into one of those salamanders to be cooked and slapped together and some kid with freaking ADHD bringing it out to me and forgetting my Cheese Whiz or my mayonnaise or whatever. So I just want good old Phil in the back, you know, not even cleaning the spatula after he wipes it on his apron and just scoops up the meat and puts it on the bun, dude. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but I don't disagree with you, but we're talking franchise, like big picture. Like, I agree, I'm going to search for the greasy spoon, but that's not the position of the general pop. You know what I'm saying?
But stay with me here, Todd. I think America's turning the corn. Because America's literally all about like franchises, Walmart, McDonald's, like all that stuff. But with like documentaries and articles being written and all this stuff about the hole in the wall places, the food trucks and stuff like that, I think franchises aren't going to be that big of a deal anymore. And more people are going to go to those smaller places. So then you could be opening a cheesesteak factory that sits empty in a mall because everybody's like, dude, I'm going to the Yost food truck because he's slanging tacos over there. He's got a Philly cheesesteak taco. You know what I'm saying?
I kind of do.
I think we're turning it. I think America's turning the corn, man. We're tired of big food. We want little food.
I don't think it can happen. I think that there's a little bit can happen, but as soon as it starts to happen, then those places that are killing it become bigger. They become franchised.
They almost have to meet the demand. I get that. But I also think there's something unique about not conforming. I mean, dog, we're talking a revolution here, and you know how I feel about revolutions.
But at the same time, we're just literally coming out of the last year that's been the hardest on every food service industry like that anybody can remember since like the Great Depression. I got a feeling that a lot of pop-up greasy spoons aren't popping up right now.
But I think during that time, and I don't know how food trucks did, but I think during that time was a great time for food trucks. Like, imagine I pull up to your house. Okay, people can't go anywhere. But let's say you pull up to a neighborhood, you tweet it out that you're in the neighborhood, you set off the alarm, whatever it is. When you pull up, people can stay in their house, they can order off your menu, and then you cook it up, you drop it through a little chute with your name on it, person comes out, they don't even have, they lift the thing, grab their food, and then they go back in their house. You can just do that for a whole neighborhood, drive to the next neighborhood. I don't know, man.
It's like the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
But for tacos?
But for tacos, or for Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
I think America's ready for a better food. Doesn't have to be healthier. I think it's just like they're ready for that experience instead of just, dude, have you ever seen the Cheesecake Factory menu?
Yeah, I've been there. It's massive.
It's obnoxious. I've never even been there, and like, I hate it.
It's got to be 10 pages of packed with
stuff. And they're oversized pages. Yeah. So it's like obnoxious. I don't know, dude.
I've been to one in Vegas once.
Yeah, I just can't with that. I have no desire to go to Cheesecake Factory. Now, if you're willing to make me a partner on Cheesecake Factory, then yeah, let's do it. But I accept Bitcoin as payment. But I don't know, man. I think America's ready for the experience of being outside. So we both watched The Chef Show. And they do an episode where they have a 7-course meal by walking to all the different food trucks. Like, I think that's the future of dining. Like, obviously in winter and stuff like that, it's a little bit different. But like, okay, I'm going to go to this truck because I love their onion rings. This truck over here, we're going to do something like dinner. So we're going to have taco or cheese steaks. Oh, these guys make amazing ice cream. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be limited anymore. You should just be able to like pick and choose, make your own menu. Instead of sitting down, rifling through 10 pages of BS only to pick the same thing you get every week when you go there.
I'm just telling you that the general pop, I don't think they agree with you or me. I'm on board. I love the thought of that.
Yeah.
And I would pick that over even my own cheese steak factory if I got it up and running.
Right.
But I think that there's a huge market for that. I mean, that's what capital. I mean, you could start out small. Your taco shop, your taco truck. You could do it. Be killing it in Spearfish. And be like, I'm going to open one in Rapid next, and then
right.
And then move East River, and it just. And then at a certain point, somebody's going to be like, hey, I want to open up
a brick and mortar store,
open up the Yost tripod of tacos in Nebraska. And you'd be like, how much? You know what I mean? You're going to franchise. What happens when you're good at something. That's capitalism.
Yeah. And it has to be. If you're not, you have to grow at some point. You can't just stay like mediocre forever. But
as the consumer, I think I'm on the same page as you. But as the potential for like starting something up, I mean, I think you're on the other side of the table.
Yeah. And hey, my side of the table also doesn't like big. So, I mean, we're in the minority over here.
That's true.
So we want our food served by an overweight man who hasn't washed his hands in 3 months instead. And we don't want to watch big. That's what we want. So.
We probably just lost some listeners on that one.
That's okay. That was a passionate topic there.
That's funny.
I feel like there's a good title for the podcast somewhere in that little rant that we just had. So I'll have to think about it. But big food's going to come after us. That's for sure. But that's another example of like Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out. Like, yeah, they're franchised and they're in certain areas, but they know like, okay, specifically In-N-Out. They don't make the menu wild because they want to do the few things that they do really well. And if they start to do other things, the quality drops.
It's true.
So
it's honestly probably those are good examples of them being really, really controlling of opening extra stores because they don't want to flood the market. They got to keep the demand really high.
Yeah. We have one in here in Vermilion and it's on campus and there's supposed to be one opening up in Sioux Falls. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going the day they open. We have kids on the basketball team, Todd, that drive to Cheyenne to get Chick-fil-A on Saturdays.
It's crazy.
And then they load up on all the Chick-fil-A they can and they drive back.
Pretty wild.
Dedication.
There's the lesson in there, Yost. Just food truck, just be super limited, like be super successful, but then don't let it get out of control. You got to keep the demand.
See, here's the thing is there's another food truck that started up a couple years ago and he does pretty well. He has great food. But I don't know if he's got the success that he was hoping for. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a rough location. I think he could have a better location. I don't even know the rules of a food truck in this town. I know some places, like, you're not allowed to have food trucks. Some places, like, you can't park a food truck in a spot. Like Portland, you can park in a parking lot and set up tables and be basically a restaurant. You don't ever have to move. But in, like, California and other places, you just tweet out where you're going to be for the day, and then you have to be gone within 8 or 10 hours. So I don't know what the rules are, but, like, seeing his business not thrive makes me nervous. So because also everybody's doing tacos.
That's true.
So
why?
Because they're easy. Yeah. You can let the meat be the star, and you just serve it with a cold beer, and you're fine. And that's why I think 3 tacos, great meats, right? Do a chicken, do a fish, do a beef, and then always have a star taco.
Bro, like, I just came up with your business name.
Okay.
The 3 a meat goes.
I wrote it down. I got it. But then I'm always going to have a 4th though. And the 4th is going to be the wild card. We're talking like a Philly cheesesteak taco, a St. Patty's Day taco, a Halloween taco. You know what I'm saying?
It's just candy corn.
Yeah, it's just candy and it's just candy and peeps. A Christmas taco. Like, you could literally do something Christmas where it's like, I'm going to do a peppermint chicken taco. You know what I mean? And then your garnish is red and green, or your salsa is like extra red and green, and you serve it with like a hard alcohol, hot chocolate with a candy cane dunked in it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So
I like it.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Anyways, we're an hour and 21 of it. And I think that was a whole podcast right there talking about big food.
Big food.
You got anything else you wanted to cover?
No, man, I'm good. I want to get back and watch some of this March Madness and let you get back to the baby. It was a good talk. I appreciate it.
we like to ramble, and sometimes it gets us down some wormholes. And you know, food's a good one.
It's a really good one.
If you were to wrap up Todd and I in a nice little taco, it's a food and sports taco.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, the podcast definitely could be more food and sports. But we also like to throw in that little bit of, we have no idea what we're talking about, or, you know, differing opinions and stuff. So
for sure.
So, I don't know if you got a recommendation this week, Todd.
I was thinking about it a lot. Seeing if I could bring something that actually made sense. Cause you know, I keep running into these situations where I just recommend doing something the way that I do it, because I feel like the way that I do it's the best way.
Yeah. Right.
But, I guess my recommendation would be, and maybe this is, I'm not considering our audience, but regardless.
I never consider the audience. They're all idiots.
I recommend people invest in good pots and pans. We've been doing a ton of prep cooking. And I've struggled for so long with crappy pots and pans. We've had some decent ones for a while now. Actually, good ones. It makes such a big difference. Like, it'll make the difference on whether or not you want to cook, because your pan sucks.
For sure.
So
pots and pans and knives.
Yep, totally agree.
Knives make everything so much easier.
So it's topical, because we just did a bunch of prep cooking midday today before the pod. So
heck yeah,
it's fresh on my mind.
Go get your pots and pans, guys. Go get your vaccine and your pots and pans. All right, well, Todd, I think we're good. If you got anything else, let's hear it. If not, another one in the books.
Yeah, we're good, man. Another one in the books.
Hey, everybody, appreciate the support. With numbers keep going up. As some of you have probably heard at the beginning of the episode, there is now a sponsorship from anchor.fm. Every time that's streamed, basically we're getting money for it. So, I threw it at the beginning. Hopefully it's not too intrusive for everybody, but you know, we're trying to do something with this. We're not going to be millionaires by any means, but upgrading equipment and stuff like that is always on our mind. So, shout out to you guys for continuing to listen. Shout out to Todd for being here again on a Sunday for us. Yeah, Todd, we're going to move into the week and see what we get into.
Sounds good, man.
All right, everybody. We'll see you soon. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. See ya.